All right, this is our Writer's Mastermind, our Writer's Workshop. And I'm going to just start right off by sharing my screen and showing everybody where we are in the program. Because if you're just tapping in and you haven't seen the program, this is the actual course that's in, and I have to get my cursor out of the way and our faces out of the way there. This is the actual course that is in the International Academy. And this is everything that's been covered. So we started talking about choosing a publishing route, then editing your writing, then getting feedback from editors, critique circles, beta readers. And then we talked about titling your manuscript and formatting your book. We talked about that last time. So today we're talking about designing a book cover that converts readers. Because you know, there's so many parts and pieces to writing a book. I mean, you know, you have the idea, then you have to get it on paper, and then you have to, you know, think about from the beginning, you know, how am I going to publish this at the other end if that's your actual goal? And at the end of the day, books are a business. At the end of the day, books are a business, and the publishers want to take on the books that are going to sell. And so you've got to put all the parts and pieces into creating this book. And it's a lot. I realize it's a lot. I mean, not only are you the creative force behind the book, but now sometimes you have to be the technical piece as well. And it all comes down to time and money. I hate to say it, but at the end of the day, it comes down to time and money. Do I have the money to pay someone else to do this, or do I have the time to do it myself? I often find myself where I don't have the time or the money. It's like, oh, I don't have the time to figure it out all out and learn everything I need to learn. And I certainly don't have the money to pay somebody else to do all of this. And so sometimes it's hard to decide where your particular publication is going to fit in the scheme of things. And so even though folks say all the time, and I hear this statistic all the time, all these people want to write a book, and such a small percentage actually write a book. So if you can write a book, you're going to be in that minute percentage that actually writes a book. And then I walk into a bookstore or a library and I go, wow, look at all these books. But when you think of the millions of people that have gone before us, it still is only a very small percentage of folks that actually publish a book that have their name. And when I say their name, it could, you know, it could be your pen name, doesn't have to be your real name, but only a very small percentage actually publish a book. And it is hard to sort out all the different directions that you have to come at this particular project, you know, the editing, the writing, the time, the money, the manuscript, you know, the formatting, the designing, you know, the editing, and all the different levels of editing. I mean, it can just get so confusing. And so today we're going to talk about two things. And number one, I just want to briefly mention this. For those of you that are listening to this maybe later that want to start writing and you're not sure how to put together a book, and you've got all of these like little miniature stories or thoughts, or you want to inspire the world in some way, or you have a specialty, start with a blog. And so for many of us, and I've got a whole blogging course on Newbie Blogger, so anybody that's really interested in doing that, you can jump over there and see what we're all about. We talk all about blogging. And so what happens is when you research something online, oftentimes all of these blog posts come up and you're reading these blog posts and you're thinking, this is the information I've been looking for. And so I decided that I wanted to research all about designing a book cover. And there's no reason to actually reinvent the wheel. I found an amazing blog that just covers the topic beautifully. And that's what I'm going to share with you today. And so I'll show you where I found it. And so again, we're talking about a book cover. Now, this is our mastermind group here. So the first link here at the top, this is the course. This is all the topics we're going through. Then if you come over to our mastermind, which is what we're in, here's where I put all of the replays. And so you can click through over in the mastermind section. And so after today's replay will go right here on the May 15th. So here is the blog post. So make a note of this. This is a great resource for those of you that are writing maybe your first book And even if not, this is a great resource. It's the Readsy blog, and it's all about books. So you're definitely going to want to tap into the Readsy blog. So make a note. And today it is a guide on book design and how to design a book cover. And so again, look here, Readsy, and it even has blog in the name. My blog actually has the word blog in the name as well. Oftentimes when we research something online and we find a great article, we're reading the article, it's actually a blog, but it doesn't have the word blog in the line. This one does. So I'm going to move our faces over. For those of you that are in Zoom calls, you understand what that means. All of you are still showing on my screen. So here is how to design a book cover that stands out in 6 steps. Now, I'm not going to just sit and read the blog because there's a ton of information in here, but here are the 6 steps. And if you go to blog.readsy.com and look up how to design a book cover, you'll get the same blog that I have. And when you come down to these 6 steps, they're all hyperlinked. So the hyperlink is going to give you more in-depth information. It just goes deeper and deeper. And so the first one is to gather the book covers that you like. And I'm just going to review these first, and then we're going to break them down a little bit. Then search for experienced cover designers. Share your book details in a brief, and I'm going to explain what that means, what a brief means for those of you that are just getting started. Nail down the cover's main concept. Experiment with typefaces and color schemes, and you'll see why that's important. And then finalize the printing requirement. So again, if you go to this blog, the blog.readsy.com on how to design a book cover, it will give you these 6 steps, and they're hyperlinked to even more information. So let's talk about gather the book covers you like. How do you gather the book covers you like? Well, how about bookstores? Go to the bookstore and you'll find covers that jump out at you. Now, what I've discovered is that the more simple the book cover, the more it jumps out at me. If it's a book cover that has a lot of information, a ton of information, where it's totally loaded with words, again, when I'm just browsing the shelves, I have a tendency not to like read that entire cover with all those words. I have a tendency to read the title and maybe the subtitle. And if it's got a bunch of other stuff on there, I have a tendency to go past it. So I don't know about you, but I get a little overwhelmed if there's too much on the book cover. So when I'm at bookstores, the more simple and the more simple colors jump out at me. If it's a real busy book cover, I have a tendency to pass it. So Amazon, browse Amazon's book page to find the books categorized by genre, the bestsellers, best of the month, and so on, and take note of the covers that stand out. And you're looking just at the thumbnail cover. It's just the little thumbnail. Just what is it that jumps out at you? There are online galleries. Other wells of inspiration include Book Cover Archive, Readsy's Book Cover Gallery, and Dribbble, where you can search for designs using the book cover tag. Again, you're looking for something that you might want to replicate for your book. Then, of course, there's social media. Now, you can lose yourself for hours, it says. I get it. Browsing through Instagram accounts. But there's Books and Lala. Yeah. Or Astrid's Orta's collection on Pinterest, where book fans can collect their favorite jacket designs. Okay. So here's what you're doing. When you're looking at some of the social media, you're seeing what the society at large is attracted to. And again, remember, books are a business. So you want to pick something. You might love it, but nobody else does. So pick something that society at large is attracted to. And this is a good place to look and see what it is they're saving as their favorites, okay? It gives you an idea of it kind of keeps your thumb on the pulse of what's popular. Now, take note of the types of covers that capture your attention as well. So there's a tool where you can actually create a collage of your favorites. and it's called Milanote, and you can use, and again, it's hyperlinked here if you want to click over to it, but you can save them in your gallery. You can put them in your photo gallery and name the gallery My Favorite Book Covers. There's a place where you can just collect those. And again, take screenshots, save the titles, create a collage, do something to start collecting what you like and what, again, what society at large is attracted to. Now, again, as mentioned earlier, it's important to watch for designs in your book genre and try to spot common tropes. Now, does everybody know what a trope is? Pay attention to your genre's tropes. Do you know what, Sandy knows what a trope is. Does anybody else know what a trope is? Yeah, no? Okay, you don't just want your cover to look pretty. You want it to be well-positioned for market success. Certain visuals on a cover tell the reader what genre the book is, and that's called a genre trope. It's a certain visual, and I'm going to show you this next graphic, and you'll get it. It'll make sense. So that often means that you need to feature some of the visual cues that your readers expect to see in your genre. For example, at the time of publishing of this particular blog post, and this was just done, I'm going to scroll back up to the top because, again, we don't always pay attention when blog posts are written. This one was March 17 of 2023. This is a current blog post, okay? And so, again, I don't always pay attention to the dates on blogs. We've talked about in our blogging group, but this one is important because we want to know what's trending right now. What is trending right now? So now I'm going to go down, now that you know this is very current, and I'll show you this. It says you have to feature the visual cues that your readers expect to see in your genre. For example, at the time of publishing, March of 2023, a common motif on the covers of crime novels is a dark house with a lit window and a blue and yellow color scheme. Now, let me say that again. That's a trope. That's a genre trope. A common motif on the covers of crime novels is a dark house with a lit window and a blue and yellow color scheme. This is what we call a genre indicator or a genre trope. Let me show you. Look at that. Anytime you see that, you know you're looking at a crime novel. Do you see how easy that is identified by the viewers? The colors, the lit window. You see how that works? And so when you pick up that book, you're like, spooky. I know it's going to be a crime. It's going to be a mystery. I get to figure out what's going on. And the whodunit is going to shock the socks off of me at the other end, which is what I want. That's what I'm looking for, because that's the genre. So find your genre and find out what is the indicator. What is the trope for your genre? Look at this. All of them. Now, again, the title. Now, even though some of these covers are a little busy for me, the title says it all. You know, The Roommate. You know, that's going to be, but I don't even have to read the tagline. All I know is The Roommate, and when I see the cover colors and the light in the window, I know it's going to be crime. The Family Across the Street, The Summer House, The Guilty Husband, The Last Thing He Told Me, The Family Upstairs. You see how that works. So there are tropes for almost every genre. For example, romance and cozy mystery often feature illustrated designs, while it's standard for paranormal fantasy novels to include a realistic character on the cover. While you shouldn't blindly follow these trends for your own cover, you might run the risk of blending in too much and going unnoticed. It's good to have a sense of what they are. So the fine line that you have to walk is how do I bring in the genre trope, or, you know, the indicator, and still stand out and be different. And so you'll notice this one, even though it's got the colors, it's a little more on the green side. It doesn't get buried in with all the blue. And you see where a couple of them have done that. They've kind of, moved a little bit away from the blue. So if you're looking at a sea of blue on the shelf, you might have a tendency to pick up this one or this one because it's a little different in color, but yet it still tells you. You see how some of them are doing. Here's one where they tried to do both of the colors. So you get the idea, but they all kind of have the yellow, the green, the blue. And again, you know what you're getting. So overall, it can be tough to stay on top of book cover trends and know how to wield them in your favor while coming up with an original concept, which is why you may want to work with an experienced professional designer. So that's the next step. How do you search for an experienced cover designer? Well, there's some design tools. You can use Canva. You can use Adobe Express. It's now easier than ever for self-publishing authors to create their own covers. So again, play around with some of that. I love Canva. I use Canva all the time in all the stuff that I'm doing. I use Canva even in my social media posts because it's so easy. So, but pay attention. So there's no way around hiring a professional designer. Then you have to look for the professional designer. Says, do professionally designed book covers actually drive more clicks and sales? Says, now again, this is Readsy talking, the blog. We ran a test and found that on average, they lead to a 35% increase in book marketability. 35% is huge. That's a big increase by using a professional designer. Now, where are you going to find some? Well, you can find designers and illustrators for hire on marketplaces like Fiverr and Upwork. Now, has everybody used Fiverr and Upwork? I've used both. Fiverr and Upwork, they're online virtual designers. Okay. Now you can look at major publishing houses. And of course, Readsy is going to market. So Readsy itself, and again, I'll mention this because we're using a Readsy blog today, they have cover designers right here at Readsy. Okay. And of course, there's a free sign up. You can check out their Facebook page and they want you, you know, to use them. So, and again, they talk a little bit of folks here who used Readsy. So once you've found your candidates, you need to reach out to them and make a connection. So how do you tell them what you want? This is how you do it. You share your book details in a brief. What is a brief? That was one of our steps. That's step number three. To communicate to the designer what your book cover is about and the other basic information, you'll need to fill out a cover design brief. Now, again, this is hyperlinked right here. If you go to this blog and go to the hyperlink, it's going to give you even more detail on what a brief is. A brief can vary, but to avoid any miscommunication, you should aim to provide the following information. First of all, who is your target market? You need to specify what genre your book falls into and define your target audience demographics. Is it women? Is it teenagers? Is it men? What is your demographics? What is the book synopsis? What's the summary? It allows them to understand the story, the main motifs, since it's unlikely that they'll find time to read your book. There's no way they would have time to read everyone's book. That's why you're sending them a brief, okay? And that's why it's important that you write a good synopsis, because they're going to create this cover for you and they have to understand what your book is about. You'll want to include the main characters. You'll have to provide some background information about the main protagonist of the story, emphasizing their most important external and internal traits. And then the cover elements. You might want to communicate what kind of a cover element you'd like to include, like the book size, the title, the tagline, that sort of thing, so they know where to place that on your cover design. And finally, you should include a link to the 5 to 10 book covers that you kind of like as you're looking at your genre. And that lets them know kind of what you're expecting. It's hard for them to deliver what you're expecting if they don't know what you're expecting. And that helps them know what you're looking for. And again, top tip on Readsy Marketplace, you can save time and get a range of quotes by submitting your brief up to 5 designers at a time. Now, you can do that on Readsy, you can do that on Fiverr, you can do that on Upwork, you can submit your brief to tons of people and then wait for those quotes to come back in, okay? So now the range of the quotes, the price that you're going to get quoted is going to depend on variables like the designer's experience, the complexity of the design, the number of design rounds that you want to ask for. It could be that you love number 3 if they could just change the font a little bit, or you love number 2 if they could just tweak the color a little bit. So how many variables or rounds are you going to go through before you make a decision? And so that affects the price as well. So you can learn more about the average cost of hiring a pro designer. There's a cost of self-publishing, and Readsy even has a quiz that you can take so that they can tell you about what to expect cost-wise. So once you've evaluated all the various offers and you've chosen the professional, now it's time to get down to the nitty gritty. Nail down the cover's main concept. So going from brief to a beautiful, unique, and polished artwork is not a linear process. It's a creative effort that requires synergetic collaboration between you and your designer. The first objective is to figure out what the cover's basic concept should be, or as the designer might ask, what's the feeling you want someone to have when they first see your book? So let me say that again. The designer wants to know, what's the feeling you want someone to have when they first see your book? Now, to arrive at an answer, you might have to ask, what are some of the emotions that best describe your story? Is it a mystery? Is it hopeful? Is it dark? Is it about location? Is it about a symbol? There's all kinds of questions you have to ask yourself so that you know how to answer that for your designer. Okay, so let's take a look. Here are three covers for the exact same book from three different designers. Okay, The Expedition to Mystery Mountain. I don't know what the book is about. I haven't read the book. I don't know which cover best describes or gives me, the reader, the feeling that the author wants me to have. And so let's see how that worked out. The first cover iteration inspired by the expansive feeling of exploration. You see that? It's the view from the top of a mountain. That's this one. The second one brings the focus closer to the ground by shifting the perspective and including an outline of the wilderness and the highlights, some of the keywords that came up in the design process, such as, well, it's about camping, it's about bushwhacking, it's down to earth. So that this designer came up with this. See, you still had the mountaintops, but they've kind of brought it down a little bit. Okay. Now the third iteration dwells even deeper into the narrator's perspective, straight into the bushes and trekking through the valley. And look at this, you're in the thick of it in this cover, okay? And so that's predominantly where the location of the story is. It also includes some iconic clothing like vintage boots and a red scarf, which is a part of the story, which of course you would have that included in your brief. So which one do you think the author chose from these three? Any guesses? From the mountaintop, because it's an expedition of Mystery Mountain. So we're talking about mountains. Here is the Expedition of Mystery Mountain. A little bit of adventures of bushwhacking, knickerbocker wearing women. Or this one in the thick of it with the boots and the scarves. All right, Sandy, you're an author. What do you think?
Maybe two.
Because it's kind of a mix between, you're not on the mountaintop, but you're not totally in the thick of it.
Yep. Though number three with those boots on it kind of gives the idea that, you know, this woman is kind of tired. It shows a human element to it. So that might be next.
And this one is a little too airy, maybe?
Maybe.
So again, we're trying to pick a cover that makes the reader feel what you want them to feel.
Yeah.
Okay. Ruth, Debbie, any thoughts?
I'm probably all wrong then. What does she want them to feel?
Story is about the adventures of bushwhacking, knickerbocker wearing women.
Yeah, woman.
Well.
What do you think, Debbie?
I don't know. I like the symbolism of the tall mountain peaks. They're all different. But then I like the third one because of the fact that it gives it a little bit more mystery in regards to the bushes and the boots. Yeah.
And the red scarf. It's kind of like, what's that got to do with it? Yeah. Ruth, what do you think?
I don't really know either. But I think I would vote for three.
You're leaning toward three?
Uh-huh.
All right. This is why when you're ready to do a book cover, put your options out there. And Ruth, you and Debbie both remember this with Carrie Oberbrunner. When somebody would start to publish, they would say, hey, doing a poll, which book cover you like the best? Remember when everybody was doing that? Because you'll get a feeling, it's not at this point, and I know the book is your baby, but at this point, it's not about you. At this point, it's about what will make the reader pick up that book. And I'm sure, I don't know about you, but I'm sure there are thousands of books out there that are absolutely amazing that I have not picked up simply because of the book cover.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about your reader at this stage. Mm-hmm. And so let's move on, okay? Now, each concept captures a story from a different perspective. Ultimately, the author chose the third design direction because it better matched and told the book story, which is one of hardship and perseverance in the thick of it. So again, see, the author chose the cover that made the reader feel the way they wanted them to feel when they picked up the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Okay. So while each designer will have their own way of working, you'll likely go through a similar process. Once the main focus of the cover is settled, the next step is to refine in the search of the perfect cover version. Now, here's where you get to experiment with typefaces and color schemes. Remember back in the earlier genre where some of the authors opted to go a little more on the blue-green side to just make their book stand out a little bit from all the others in that genre. So there's many ways of representing a cover concept, from the illustration or image to the color scheme, the layout. The possibilities are endless. So at this stage, the designer will play around with the main concept you've settled on together and develop it in different and interesting ways. So this designer may very well, once she said, I like this one, they now may have sent her six different versions of this cover. You see where I'm going with that? To try to narrow it down so that it still stands out in that genre. So yeah, this is a big process. This is so important. Your book cover is so important. So to build on the previous example, in the image below, you'll find two more iterations of the concept the author chose to proceed with. The first one features a slightly different color palette, but retains the silhouette of the plant leaves and the scarf detail. The second one has a minimal design, a compass in the middle of two Devil's Club branches. The color scheme is also much lighter with vintage tones. So here we go. What do you think? See, now they're trying to keep the mystery with it. Ultimately, as you can see, the author opted for a mix of the two, tying together the elements she loved the most, the vintage color and the iconic piece of her uniform. So this is how it turned out.
Oh, is that wasn't up in the above there.
She took a mix of these. She wanted to highlight the yellow scarf. She liked the vintage look because this is about older women.
Yeah.
And she liked the vintage of this, but she liked the red scarf of this. And so what she did is she tied it together into this.
Wow. That's impressive.
Now again, I probably would have stayed with this one. This one says mystery more. I might have brought the red scarf out a little more so that I would say, what's the red scarf got to do with it?
Yeah, and it looks a little, that one that I did like, though, looked a little more like Christmas. Looked like a heavy poinsettia plant to me. If I held it in my hand, it would look differently. So what I liked about her final choice was she toned down the colors.
Yeah,
there better be something significant about that scarf in the story, because to me, bushwhacking is more about boots. So,
and knickerbocker wearing. If I picture these women in knickerbockers, does everybody know what a knickerbocker is? When I picture women in knickerbockers, I almost picture that earlier pilot, you know, with the scarf and
that's true. The boots. Red Baron.
The Red Baron kind of look. So, so I visualize a scarf somewhere in that image. So,
true.
Yeah. So when I see knickerbocker wearing women, I'm like, okay, I can see a scarf in there.
Yeah. And it does emphasize female here.
Yes.
So, yeah, I like that.
So again, settling on the final design will take some time and a few revisions, but you'll be amazed at the final result and how it makes your book come to life. So get the rights for licensed images. The majority of book covers use licensed images from sites like Getty Images, iStock, Shutterstock, which the designer then manipulates by adding or removing elements to create a unique piece of art. This is especially true for covers based on photography as opposed to illustrated ones, which are often created from scratch. Your cover design includes licensed images. It's at this stage you'll have to purchase the rights to use them. So in fact, designers usually use watermarked and low resolution images in their initial concepts until you approve, because they don't want you to steal their work. Okay, mm-hmm. So pro tip, as the designer usually licenses the images, you should always negotiate and confirm the license terms and limits. If possible, try to purchase the license yourself so that you always retain the right to use the images in your published work. Because again, you want to start marketing and advertising, and you're going to start using your book cover across social media. It's going to be on Amazon. So you're going to be using that picture. So make sure that it's legal. So once you're satisfied with the end result and have a design ready to take to the publishing world, it's just a matter of putting on the final touches. So finalize the printing requirement. Now, as you already may have guessed, the book cover is more than just the front cover. Before you publish, the designer will need to put on the finishing touches. In most cases, they'll need to create a back cover, a spine, perhaps even flaps. And, you know, your ISBN number has to be on there. There's all kinds of other details, okay? If you have a one-line review from another author or an authoritative profile, you can include that on your front or back cover. You also want to add a blurb, your author bio, your logo, and you have to, again, leave some space for the ISBN barcode, okay? So this is where all of that is going to go here on this. So you've got this whole back cover now that you need to design. So if you're not sure what to include, again, here is a hyperlink on back cover design, and you can ask for advice from your designer. They'll have plenty of tips. So get the correct cover dimensions, especially if you're going to self-publish. You don't want to end up spending the money to upload everything to find out it doesn't fit. And list the title for print on demand or make it available digital only. You need to get your cover dimensions right for that. For eBooks, the standard front cover size on KDP is right here, 2560 times 1600, while other retailers like Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, each have slightly different requirements. All of that can be so, so confusing. Now, I wrote it down, and I'm looking at all my Post-it notes because I put it on Post-it notes all over my desk here, and I don't see it offhand. But we were talking to Debbie, you were on the call with Mason the other day, and he found a site. If he's going to self-publish, he can upload into this external site and it automatically redesigns everything to fit across all of those platforms. Now, he had to pay for that, and I'll look that up and see what that was. But you remember it was digital something. Do you remember that, Debbie, offhand? Anyway, yeah. he had mentioned it and he started using it. It's a subscription and he had to pay for it, but you upload there instead of into KDP. And if you're going to self-publish and when you upload it there, it'll automatically resize all your covers to fit Barnes & Noble, Apple Books. It'll automatically do it for you and you don't have to do it yourself. So if you want to print a book, if you're publishing a physical edition, you'll also need to consider the requirements for the back cover spine and even the flaps for hardcovers in particular. It can be tricky to get the spine right. I remember early on, and Debbie, you know Connie, uploaded one that she wanted to, it had enough pages in KDP that she could actually print off a copy, an actual printed version, a paperback version. And she could not figure out how to get that darn spine right, where it wrapped exactly around her pages. And again, sometimes this is better to just pay somebody to do that. than to spend days and days trying to sort through all of this. So it depends on the format, the binding type, the paper stock, the page count. There's so many things that go into that. So luckily, every major digital and print provider will provide authors with a way to calculate their book cover dimensions. It's also referred to as your trim size. These online tools will either generate a template that the designer can upload to their design software or provide the right specifications to ensure everything is pixel perfect. So here's where you can find those requirements. And again, right here in this blog post, they're hyperlinked. So Amazon, Ingram Sparks, Blurps, Book Vault, they're all right there. Okay. So hopefully you're finding lots of value in this blog post. Here's what it might look like. You've got the front, the spine, and the back. And you have to make sure all of this fits. The number of pages make such, and the formatting makes such a huge difference on the size of this spine. And that's why that's kind of hard to get it right. Now, once you've checked your required cover dimensions, the designer will create and send you the print-ready PDF files to upload on your selected print or distribution service platform. And this is distribution service platform is what I was telling you that Mason had given me. It's called digital something. I have to look it up. I wrote it down in the call that we were doing with him. So I'll have to look that up. But it's a distribution service platform. And once you have that ready, see, then you can take all of this and upload it into those. Now you have to export your book cover files. A shiny brand new book cover you can use to represent your book on the shelves and across all marketing channels. Depending on what you've agreed on, the designer might also send you a variety of 3D mock-up images to use so that you can start advertising. For example, this may not actually be a book. This just may be a mock-up done by your designer on what your book will look like if you have it actually published in an actual physical format, not just an ebook, but you know, a hardback book that somebody can actually purchase. And they're going to put it in different designs, like this one's on like a little coffee table, so that you can actually use this to market out across your social media. Like my new book is out, here's my new book, and it shows here, even though you don't physically have a copy in your hand yet. And this is how you design a cover from start to finish, going from a rough idea to an artwork that will attract readers' eyes, help you sell copies, and establish your brand as an author, one that simply you'll be proud of, and you'll show your friends and family. All right, so then it just goes into some other details. So, comments, questions. I'm going to stay on the site for a minute in case you have a comment or a question about something that we have covered. So I'm going to open it up to comments and questions.
Yeah, I could add a few things. You could see that the history of book selling has changed. At one point in time, the author's name was never larger than the title of the book. But as it came along, in which people were buying the author's work more than the title, you see that the more famous the author, the larger the title. And in those mystery books you were showing, James Patterson's name is much bigger than the title itself. Because
I saw that. Yes, Sandy. Good observation.
Yep. And so, in a part of what you were saying, the color, the genre, section, it's called also the brand, because you're kind of branding yourself as well. And I know in the romance world, the if it's a rom-com, a romantic comedy, it's going to be lighter colored and typically more animated. You'll have kind of cartoony hero and heroine on there. In more of a Harlequin look, you'll have a real photographic-like images of the two on there, and typically the two. And then I have a friend who is doing her own work, and she does this series of, she's handling the seven deadly sins of jealousy and envy and working it into devilish-like characters and working it into a romance. Well, the person she had designing her covers had given her images of humans on it. She goes, no. I want a rattlesnake and an apple, kind of like the Adam and Eve temptation. And finally, they relent and said, okay, it's your dollar. She didn't sell, period. So here is the remake of her title, Devil in the Details. So, Demons in the Details. And so gone is the rattlesnake, and she sold so many more because she had this handsome looking devil on her cover. So yeah, it's extremely.
Aren't those devils always handsome looking?
Oh, aren't they though? Aren't they though? So yeah, sometimes you got to listen to the people who are advising you to sell your book, that this cover may be better than that cover. And and what hits big time? I remember there was something like The Woman on the Train. Well, that was really, really big. So then you saw another book that had the title Woman in the Window. And then the woman was here and the woman was there. And I wonder often how much it was that they're looking at marketing. And if you work for Harlequin, chances are you don't have any choice on that cover or your title. So, but when you do have the options, and there are authors who say, I need to look and have some say in the cover. So you have that. But yeah, I am looking at all the, and I never noticed that before, how much yellow and blue light in the window. But when you line it up, you want to be with James Patterson, because that reader is going to pick up your book. And then they're going to pick up that next book because it looks an awful lot like the other one. So, wow, really good.
I was just looking as you were talking to see if there was one here called The Woman in the Window.
Yeah.
I just scrolled up and down a little bit to see that. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I love it. And I can't wait to see, as we get closer to publishing, what kind of covers we come up with. So Debbie, any comments from you about what we've covered today? And she just now turned her camera off, so she may have gotten a phone call. So sure. I'll toss it out to Debbie, and there she is. Debbie, any comments on what we've covered today? Did it give you any overarching feeling on what you want on your cover? And you and I have talked about your cover just a bit.
Yeah, what this has done is actually given me the perspective of, instead of using a looking glass or a mirror, kind of come up with the idea of, the outline of the house that I lived in and having that bedroom window right there and having a little person standing there looking out, and the shadow of, or an adult standing down, staring up at it. It just kind of, I don't know, it just made sense that way.
Well, and again, yeah, you have to kind of think about what you want your reader to feel. That's, I think, my biggest takeaway today on book covers is, how do I want my reader to feel before they ever open up that cover?
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. I've got to think about that more, but yet, I'm intrigued to look at this blog site and kind of get a better feel for it. But you've pinpointed focusing on your cover and what you said. What do I want my reader to see or feel? Or get an impression of, what it is, which would draw them to flip it over and look at the back cover. Mm-hmm. So, that's what I'm seeing.
I like it. Now, again, make a note of all the different variations of what you have thought at different times in writing this book, on what you think you want your cover to look like. because I'm here to tell you, by the time you're at the end of the book, the message and the feeling in the book might have changed a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I think waiting to do the cover at the end is a better process. Don't worry about it now. Maybe have, you know, a list to kick around some ideas, but I don't
have a place. Have a place where you jot those down, you know, on what hit you at different stages in the book. And it may end up being a combination of those.
Yes, I agree.
The guest you had on last time, Kathy, was Cody.
Yes.
And his memoir is a struggle of a child in challenging situation. And yet when he had held up his book, because he is a hairstylist to the Hollywood stars and celebrities, you notice on his book, he's highlighting those stars. So I thought, well, that's interesting. He wants to show that he made it, you know, that there is optimism and hope got him through his terrible struggle. So yeah, Debbie, I agree. Yours is, I would assume, a bit of a struggle too. And when you're talking about photographs, I think of the old photo albums of the sepia toned photographs. And that maybe, and I'm making this up because I don't know what your real story is, Debbie, but I thought that lonely looking child out the window, that might draw in people if that's the way you want to go. And that's what this Cody could have done. But he chose the brilliant ending of the story to emphasize instead. So I don't know.
Yes, I noticed that too when he showed his book cover, because I had to actually do a little research to find out exactly what his book was about, because I wasn't sure
what
to feel when I picked up his book. And it wasn't until I did some research that I realized what his story was even all about. So,
but again, I
understand what he's doing. He wants to focus on the I have arrived stage of his story. And he wants to create, I asked him that in the interview, if you remember, I asked him, I said, you know, what message are you trying to get across, your overarching message? And he said, the message of hope. And he said, at the end of each story, because the way he wrote it is he started writing it in miniature story format. Like he remembered this happened, so he wrote that down. And then he remembered that happened, and so he wrote that down. And then he remembered something else happened when he was 15, and he wrote that down. And then he helped, a ghostwriter helped him put it all together in a story form. And then what he said he did was he wanted to have tools at the end of each of those stories on, this is what I wish I would have known.
Yeah.
I went through that in hopes to help someone else that relates to that particular story. They can go, here are some tools to help me from someone who's been here. And so he's writing it, I think, more of as a self-help book. For folks that are also struggling. And that's why I think he focused on the happy ending.
Yeah.
So that's just my opinion. Like you, when I saw it, I really had to research a little to see what his book was about.
Okay. And that's probably not something you want to have your reader have to do. You know, I remember there's a book came out, well, maybe in the last 10 years, called The Orphan Train. And it had to deal with a time in our history where orphans were shipped across the country on trains to be adopted by farmers, you know, folks who needed them. And the picture was kind of gray tones of a train with little kids looking out the window. And sometimes that's a big draw, you know, to know that this is going to be a story of struggle and outcome, but it's a very attractive, very attractive. And sometimes you'll see, like, we know a Harry Potter story when we see one from miles away, and that is polished over the years. The very first one is kind of cartoony, and then they get a little more serious. So a lot of sadly enough, to use the word tricks, and I don't want to do that, but you're right, attract that reader, but also let them know what they're in for, because they're looking for it, a trope, they're looking for the light in the window or the dark forest look. So yeah, Debbie, I think you're onto something with your own design already, because you got it. And it's like, okay, this is the story I'm going to work with. And then if it changes, it can change easily, but you've established yourself.
Well, and here's the other idea that I had was taking a mirror, you know, those oval mirrors that sit on the floor, and put a crack in it, and but in front of it would be a small child and then an adult looking into the mirror. The child would be looking in the lower half and the adult would look into the higher crack. And I'm not sure how I would label or how the title would fit on there, but that was kind of the other idea I was going with. That way I'm incorporating both into it, but I have two options.
Well, you're definitely onto something, Debbie. And again, when you go through this blog post again, just remember, and down here when you're searching, maybe I already passed it, where you have to write up your synopsis, your brief, cover design brief. Okay. And this is where you're going to include these things: your target market, your book synopsis, your main characters, your cover elements, and your design inspiration. And this is where you're going to put all of that together in your brief to find out what some designers, what they can visualize for you. Because sometimes they'll come up, and especially if they're a book designer and they do this all the time, they kind of already have an idea of what's selling, and they can take your cover design brief and really turn it into something that you hadn't even thought of.
Yes. With the discussing of, the colors and the what colors are used for creating mysteries, now it puts into sense for me this book that I've been reading. Of course, it's going to take me a while.
Yeah.
But, I paid a quarter for it, or 50 cents at not garage sailing, but antiquing.
Okay.
But I've gotten into it, and now I want to go find the other two. When I bought this, I did not know it was a series, but luckily this is the first one. So, the way it opened up was like, really? And then how it changed to the previous, before this.
It got your attention, and that the author did a good job there.
It did, yes, yes. And going to Goodwill and thrifting and stuff like that, you can find the best books.
Oh yeah,
for dirt cheap, and then take them back. So
I'm gonna start a little library on the back of the bed and breakfast lot here. I've got my little reading corner. I've got my little cement bench and my umbrella, and I've got some river birch trees that I planted about 3 years ago. So they're getting pretty full and green. And so now I'm gonna put one of those little libraries on a post right there, where you can leave a book or take a book, and open it up to the neighborhood and advertise it as a little reading nook corner.
That's a cool idea.
And Debbie, if you're looking around in bookstores and places, swap meets, whatever are, look and see if they have memoirs. Sometimes they're not as alphabetized or categorized, and pick some that capture your eye and take them home, and then take a look at why they did it. And that might be of some help, I would think. And, and this is also the time in which belonging to a writer's group like the Writers Guild, in which when you get to this point, and it's like finding all the things you need about a good plumber, but then it comes down to asking. So what's your way, folks? I'm now at, because somebody was asking just the other day in some other site that said, you know, what kind of beta readers should I be looking for? And so this might be the time, you know, hey, folks, I'm now ready. I think I have everything I need. What do you think about designing my own cover? What should I do? And just to see, or where should I go? Or whom should I talk to? And because, but you're already, you have a basis to work from. And this particular Readsy blog gives you what you need to know what you're looking for. So yeah, no, that's good.
Well, thank you guys for the help. I appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I love you. It. Debbie, thank you so much for sharing. Ruth, how about you? Any thoughts, comments?
There was a lot of information today. It took me back to when I did do my own book cover many, many years ago.
Yes.
And I know that it's changed a lot, and I think it'll be a good resource. I've got to make sure I keep this or get this link.
I'm going to pop the link over into the Academy so that we don't lose the link. So, but now keep in mind, and I always have a disclaimer there, when I'm using outside links, I don't have control over those, and they could go away at some point
if for some reason
they decide to take the link down or change it or whatever, but I'll save the link.
But yeah, it's all been good. I have one thing for Debbie, and then we need to probably get off of here and let you go change out your rooms.
Yes, it's just now 1:03, so we're in good shape.
I would encourage you to think right now, what's the emotion that you want your reader to leave with?
Yeah.
And then as that changes, change it too. But think about that, because that's going to affect a lot of things. And with that, I'll say goodbye.
Thank you so much for that.
Thanks, Ruth.
All right, we're going to go around. What's one big aha that you might have gotten out of today? For me, I think it is putting together that cover design brief. It's actually putting together a brief and not just picking covers willy-nilly and trying to decide which one I like the best. I think creating this brief, even if I do it for myself, is going to give me much more clarity on where I want my cover to go. So what is your big aha moment? Sandy, did you have any? You're a writer and you have covers and you're published, and anything that jumped out at you, or just a reaffirmation of info?
You know, I do more short stories. And again, my big claim to fame were biographies, and the company says, oh, it's George W. Bush. Well, we better put his face on the cover. So, you know, it's kind of, but they put little American flags and it was his presidential portrait and all that stuff. But what I really got to remember is how important the emotional appeal of a story is, that you can have all the science fiction details and make your aeroplane or your spaceship or your Conestoga wagon work, but if you don't have an emotional connection with your characters, your readers won't have an emotional connection. And so that book cover has to reflect that emotion as well. And I think that is something that has to be hammered in everything from the blurb to the cover to the characters itself.
Perfect. I love that. Debbie, any aha for you today?
Well, it's been a bit, been all an aha. This is a great site to use for referencing. I really appreciate the feedback from you guys in regards to what I'm, you know, thinking and what I need to add to the list of thinking and feeling. So I appreciate you bringing this to our attention, because I believe it definitely is one that will help anyone on any level.
Yeah, I love that. Yes. And Ruth, any aha from you today?
Yeah, that trope, or however you say that, that was a whole new thing for me. I'd never really thought about that as far as genre. So that was my aha.
I agree with what Sandy said earlier, and I'm gonna scroll up to it again before we go. One last look, because let's say if you're in this genre right here, you want to be next to James Patterson. And so I think, and it goes back to when we talk about building a better business, when I'm teaching in the Build a Better Business, and I said, serving is selling, and you want to come alongside an influencer and serve them. And all of a sudden that they're introducing you to their audience. It's kind of the same thing. You're getting on the shelf next to James Patterson, and James Patterson, if you can pick this trope, he's going to introduce you to his readers.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And if you're writing a series,
there.
A series is very important. Like my friend with all her things are going, she has this kind of a angel wing halo-y type thing on all her books. So if you're going to do more than one, or maybe the next step of your memoir, the first one is a certain theme, and the next one might be another one, that cover design is extremely important in connecting your readers to finding your next book as well.
So yeah.
And Debbie, you and Ruth both know Cary Oberbrunner, and you'll remember here just a couple of years ago, he wrote Your Secret Name, then he wrote Deeper Path, and then he wrote Day Job to Dream Job, and none of the covers connected at all. Right. And the books were all standalone published. However, folks started buying them as a set because they wanted to find out what was my secret name. And once I learned my secret name, how could I travel my deeper path? And then how could I then take my manifesto and turn it into my dream job, my day job to dream job? And so people started buying them as a set. And so he actually went back in and made the covers match and republished those. Do you remember when he did that? And he actually made the covers kind of go together. So now they look like a set. He kind of rebranded those books. And I guess maybe in hindsight, we could keep that in mind as we're writing so that we don't limit ourselves to having a set.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So another aha for me.
a lot of times we don't even realize we have a set in the offing until we grow to where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's another aha for me. So yeah, so keep that in mind. Okay, I love the call today. Thank you so much for being us today. This has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate everyone being here. I hope I've brought tons of value to you today so that you can go forward in your writing. And even if you're not at the same place, if we're all at different spots in our writing, it's all information that we need to know. I will put it all in the Academy so that we can find it. So that if we have to go back and reference it, we can do that. So thank you again for being with me today, and we'll see everyone next
time. A pleasure. Take
care. Bye.
Have a good one.